Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Women Offshore Podcast. This is Ali Cedeno.
And Christine McMillan.
We are both experienced seafarers.
And at Women Offshore, we are making waves.
The Women Offshore Foundation propels Women Plus into meaningful careers through access to a worldwide community and professional development resources, while raising awareness amongst industry leaders and decision makers about issues affecting women on the water. This podcast is an integral part of our mission, and we appreciate you listening in.
New episodes of the Women Offshore Podcast are available every Tuesday. Subscribe on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts on, and be in the know about the latest topics related to diversity, equity, and inclusion within the maritime and offshore industries.
Thanks for tuning in. We have another great episode for you today.
Hi, Emma, and welcome to the Women Offshore Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so great to see you in person. I had an image of what you should have looked like in my head, and I'm so glad to actually put a face to the name now. So thank you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. And I'd love to just get started with your story and love for you to introduce yourself to the Women Offshore community and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. My full name is Emma Garshagen. And I am currently starting a business called Sail Seabird, taking people on coastal sail training voyages, mostly out of Portland, Maine, but also down in Cape Cod and all around the East Coast. And I've been working as a professional sailor for the last 5 years. I've done a lot of work guiding offshore passages with 59 North Sailing. I also have spent a lot of time hosting their podcast. So I've gotten to interview a bunch of sailors as well. And yeah, that's the very short version, but there's a lot more.
Yeah. So, well, tell me more about your love for the water and how you got into this.
Yeah, I was lucky to grow up in a very boat-oriented family. So I grew up on the Hudson River north of New York City, up in the Hudson Valley. And my mom grew up sailing in the summers with her family out of Maine. She's from New Hampshire, and they would come over here in the summer. And they eventually did, when my mom was 13 or 14, they did an Atlantic loop. So they went across the North Atlantic and then down and back to the Caribbean. So I grew up hearing about that, which definitely like triggered, you know, dreaming and ideas about ocean crossings, which seemed super far away living on this river. But I was, you know, reading books about it. And I remember following Liz Clark's blog as she was sailing across the Pacific. And then my dad was a photographer when I was little, but then pivoted to a career as a marine technician.
Okay.
So he was fixing boats on the river. So I spent lots of time in boatyards underneath boats, bottom painting things. and then he bought a franchise of this company, Seato, that is a sort of salvage and AAA service on the water. So I, you know, we would live on a motorboat in the summers on the Hudson when I was a teenager. And I remember getting up one Saturday morning and the neighbor's boat had sank overnight. And thankfully they weren't aboard. They didn't live aboard. It was a little like Sea Ray motorboat. So then Saturday was spent with my sister and I helping my dad unsink the boat, which was unique. So all of that definitely, accumulated into a love of being on the water and a familiarity with it that I feel lucky to have, and added up to sort of ideas about the ways that I could live on sailboats and work on sailboats, which got more real as I got older. My first summer job that I had for, you know, all through high school and college was teaching sailing at a summer camp that was on the river.
Okay.
It was just a day camp.
And on the Hudson.
Okay. Yeah. Croton Sailing School. And we didn't have a racing program or anything like that. It was really just like pure learn to sail, which was really special. And really where I learned to sail ultimately was teaching other kids how to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And so then like walk us through the steps, because you have kind of this upbringing, you have the stories of your mother, and then how did you make the decision? And like, I mean, yeah, tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it was it's never clear on the way there, but looking back, I can kind of see some dots that start to connect. But working at this sailing camp was really empowering. It was definitely like one of the few ways that, as you know, a young teenager, I was able to be in control of my environment in such an obvious way. Like, my sister and I would commute to the sailing camp on a little 14-foot skiff with a little outboard.
Right.
We would drive 3 miles across the Hudson River from where the boat we lived on was to the sailing school. And like that freedom of getting to, you know, drive as a 14-year-old was awesome. And I think, through that time, as I sort of worked my way up at the sailing school and started teaching adults how to sail, and that's when I was really feeling passionate about sailing and also starting to look for ways that I could get off of the Hudson River and sort of see what else was out there. And my dad gave me a nudge to get my captain's license when I was 18. So I did that online, I think, during my senior year of high school, or maybe my freshman year of college, and got my captain's license and drove a launch boat at a fancy yacht club that was like almost an hour drive away.
It was sort of
ridiculous. Like it was the only job I could find where I could use my captain's license.
And is that a six pack captain's license? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, and then I kept just looking for jobs on boats. And so I worked at a wooden boatyard called Gannon and Benjamin that's out on Martha's Vineyard for a summer. I thought I could like any working at a fancy summer town. And it turns out you sort of break even because housing is so expensive. But that place is really where I met people who were sailors as a career. And there were lots of yacht captains and shipwrights and people who really made a living doing it. And that's where I started to sort of, I think I got my first ocean sailing opportunity through that. I ended up sailing on a friend's schooner from Puerto Rico to Haiti. The next year, which was incredible. And then I went and studied abroad with Sea Education Association, SEA.
Okay.
They're out of Woods Hole, Massachusetts, which is quite close to the vineyard. And I think that's around when I figured out that was something I could do when I was in college. I took a semester and went to New Zealand on a tall ship with them, which was incredible. And those mates and engineers and the steward and the captain, all of those people had careers at sea.
Wow.
And they had big licenses, and some of them had gone to maritime academies, and like they were the real deal. My first mate there, Allison Taylor, was like the first woman I'd seen in that kind of position. Like she was the chief mate, but essentially was the captain. You know, the captain was wonderful, but she did all the things he did and really ran the boat and now is a captain for them and had
Very
had
cool.
lots of other, yeah, positions in command. And I hadn't seen that before. So seeing all those things made me understand that people had careers on the water. And when I finished school, I had, you know, 8 million different things I thought I might do, but someone older and smarter than me said, you know, if you want to do the sailing thing, do it now, you know, before you own anything or have things tying you to land.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah.
Wonderful. So that's when I sort of took the leap. But
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sail Seabird. Mm-hmm. And so tell me more about that. Tell me, is that the name of your boat? Is it
the name
of
the business? Yeah. So I was lucky enough 2 years ago now to find this boat, which I've now named Seabird, but she came to me named Flirt, which is an awesome name. And she was owned by the US Navy. And so she was an offshore racing boat, a Navy 44 that the Naval Academy in Annapolis had designed in the 80s. And they had retired this first fleet of Navy 44s. So I found this one on an auction, and my dad and I were looking at it together, like, maybe we could buy this and, you know, together we could fix it up and then turn it into something, like turn it into a business or sell it or see, you know, it could be a really fun project. And so we sort of picked a number that together we could make happen and threw it in the auction, and it worked. And suddenly we owned a 44-foot boat, and we spent about a year on the Hudson River fixing her up. We repowered the boat and kept her really simple, but got her ready to live aboard and sail, which I did last summer. I brought her from the Hudson River via Martha's Vineyard up to Maine. Wow. And sort of through that process, I knew I was going to start a business with the boat because, yeah, I was looking for a change in my career and I was really wanting to live mostly on land. I'd been working offshore for several years. And as I think a lot of people do, I was looking for a pathway to put roots into a community somewhere, but still work at sea in some capacity.
Right.
And so this boat seemed like a really great opportunity to do that. So then, about a year ago, I sort of decided what the business was going to be and have been in the process of putting it together. But the business is called Sail Seabird.
Okay.
The boat's name is now Seabird.
Okay.
I got the decals in the mail for her name, actually.
So
it's exciting.
Tell me what the conversion looked like from an old racing Navy boat to what you have now. And your dad must be pretty much like a master boat man is kind of my image of what your father is like to be that guy. So tell me what the conversion looked like.
Yeah. So it was pretty great that she was really bare, like no cushions, unfortunately there was no stove in the galley. There was no head. Like there were some things missing that would have been nice to have, but really a bare hull with thankfully a great set of winches and a really solid rig that had been down and stored in a pretty protected place for the 10 years that she was on the hard. But yeah, just a super, super solid boat, but with not much in terms of systems. And the engine was an old Westerbeek that had overheated really badly. Mm. And my dad, one of his friends who is also a mechanic, got the engine running eventually, but basically was like, you'll hate yourself forever if you keep this. It'll be the bane of your existence. And if we're doing passages with customers on board, you need that kind of stuff to work. So we repowering the boat would have taken me, you know, months probably to just figure out how to do and get all the information I needed. It's really involved, but my dad has repowered boats for clients before. And so it was incredibly fast. And that was really exciting. And then that made her sort of, you know, movable, which was cool because we were doing a bit of a dance with the marina we were at, having her in the water when that was the more affordable option. And then putting her in the parking lot when all their boats went in the water. We were like staying out of the way basically. So we could store her for free, which was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. But then it looked like, you know, buying ahead and redoing a lot of the plumbing. And we salvaged a propane stove off of an abandoned boat, which was awesome. There was like a 30-year-old abandoned yawl in that marina that has a tree growing around it. Like it's done, you know, it's going to get scrapped whenever they find enough willpower to put it in a dumpster. So there was a perfectly functional stove on board and that was exciting.
What a good find. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think one of my dad's friends refurbished a refrigerator unit compressor to put in. And so we got a fridge and found a local guy to make cushions. And so now she's, you know, fully outfitted with currently 5 bunks, but soon to be 7 bunks. I just finished building 2 more bunks in the Four Peak this winter.
Okay.
And some new bookshelves and like things we didn't get to last year. But yeah, she's like still very simple, which I really like. Like it's not full of varnished cabinetry and it's not, you know, there's no incredibly fancy systems on board, but we have everything we need. We have radar.
Yeah.
And the things to keep us safe. But also, you know, it's simple and a really great sail training vessel, which is, you know, what the Army or the Navy was doing with it too.
So tell me about taking passengers out on it and what that feels like for you.
It's great. I mean, I feel lucky that I got to spend the last several years doing that with 59 North Sailing, who are a super professional operation doing long ocean passages with paying customers on board and their sail training passages. So, I mean, that was the best education in this kind of thing I could get. But it's really special I had a couple customers last season and a bunch of people signed up now, which is really exciting. There's still a bunch of spots to fill, but it's amazing watching people sign up and getting a little snippet of their stories through the forms they fill out. And the people who come sailing with me are always like the best students ever because they're mostly adults and they have, you know, sailing for them is usually a dream or a project they're working on. It's like a, maybe it's a hobby, but they want it to become their lifestyle. It's maybe it's their retirement plan or their summer plan, and they're really into it. And they teach me a ton because they have so many questions and want to know exactly how the boat works and exactly how the sails are and how we're choosing our route and why the weather is doing what it's doing. So yeah, it's always a good education for me while I'm working with these people and getting to watch them, you know, have new experiences and wake up on anchor and just get that like sort of immersive live aboard experience for the amount of time that they're with me.
Yeah. And so what does your trip look like? Is it a 3 or 4 day trip or what are you offering?
I have a variety that I'm really excited about. The beauty of having my own business that I keep having to remind myself is like, I can do whatever I want. And it's hard to remember that for some reason. So basically I start the season with a day sail just to like shake down the boat and get some local people on board who can just come for the day. And then pretty quickly after that, we'll sail from Rockland, Maine down to Portland, Maine, which is maybe 100 miles, maybe slightly more, slightly less. You could do it maybe in 24 hours in a straight shot, maybe a little more. But we have 6 days. So I gave us 6 days to get from here to there. And if it's foggy and rainy, like it sometimes is in Maine, we have time to take our time. And if we have, you know, time to spare, there's so many islands to explore in between. And then I'll do a 4 day long women's trip out of Portland, which I'm excited about. I just added that one. And yeah, that's sort of, you know, we start and end in Portland, Maine. So we get those 4 days to explore and go where the wind blows us and look at the weather together and say, okay, where do we want to anchor tonight? Which island do we want to go to and plan our course from there and learn as we go. And the season will take us then down to Martha's Vineyard because that's become such a great community for me down there. And it's such a great place to sail. And the passage between Maine and Martha's Vineyard is really awesome. Specifically the passage back I'm excited about because it's like the prevailing winds are southerlies or southwesterlies. And hopefully, you know, it'll sort of be a downwind run home, which will be cool. I'm going to take some teenagers sailing in August, which I'm psyched about. I wanted to add some of that into the calendar because I love sailing with kids as well. And then I finish the season with another women's trip in Maine. So yeah, it's a mix. It's like, yeah, it's anywhere between a day sail to a 7 day overnight trip.
Great. So tell me more about those women's only trips. What is that like for you?
Yeah, the women's trips, I think that concept of, you know, an all women's crew was probably first introduced to me when I watched Maiden, the movie about the Whitbread race that Tracy Edwards led in 1989, and was sort of like, oh, of course you could have a all female crew. But that was never something I'd experienced. It never happened naturally on a boat for me. And so I got sort of into the idea of what that would be like. And I'd seen that some other people offered it. So I was working at 59 North Sailing at the time and sort of nudged them about the idea of running an all women's trip. And it was very easy to get them on board with that idea. And we did the first one in the North Sea in September a couple of years ago, which was awful. Two of the women were like really bedridden, seasick for the whole week. And it was like a gale the whole time. It was disgusting, but we had the best time. Like it was like the crew was amazing. They're all still in touch today. Like,
yeah, that's really cool.
It was great. And I got to sail with my friend, Nikki Henderson, a skipper, who's just like a powerhouse. The best captain I've sailed with. So, and since then I've done a few of those women's trips. I did one in Iceland last summer with 59 North and that model. And I wanted to plug that model into my business too, because there's just this sense of safety, I think, that people feel stepping onto an all women's trip. Often, you know, when we start sailing or get into the boating world, I've often been the only woman on board or the only woman in the boatyard, and people have generally been really kind to me and respectful, but there is still that questioning that I find I still have even of, you know, is this because I'm a woman or is this, you know, like what is the treatment I'm getting and why? Right. I was once captaining a trip with, I had 10 16-year-olds on a charter boat in the Caribbean and was leading a learning, you know, a sailing program for them. And I had like 6 boys on board and 4 girls. And one of the boys was at the helm and we were coming into a harbor and a guy came over on a little boat to try to get us to pay him to help us find a mooring. And he was looking for the captain and it was the classic, like, you know, talking to all the 16-year-old boys and asking which one of them was the captain. And these boys looked terrified. They were right. Like, we're not in charge. It's her, you know, like they had no interest in being in charge of the boat. So there's something, yeah, with an all women's trip, you just get that immediate level of like, we all have some shared experience that makes it feel really safe. Yeah. And it's been such a proven model, of all women's sort of classes and trips, that can be really empowering. And yeah, and I'm really excited to see, yeah, who comes on my trips. One of the trips is already full, but there's still space on the one in June. And yeah, it's always it's always just a lot of fun. Like selfishly, it's just a fun thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at Women Offshore, we thrive off of those shared experiences that women have. And so you're like completely speaking our language here. So if people want to get in touch with you or sign up for a trip, can you share that information with us right now?
Yeah, definitely. So the website is just sailseabird.com.
Okay.
Like sail, like a sailboat, and then sea, like the ocean, bird.com.
Okay.
And the email address is emma@sailseabird.com. And those are the best ways to get in touch with me. And on the website, you can see all the passages and our Instagram account is just @sailseabird. And that is where I post the most updates, or there's a newsletter too, that is quite infrequent, but when it does come, it has good information in it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay. Sailseabird.com and your email is emma@sailseabird.com.
Yeah.
And we can follow you on Instagram @sailseabird. So those are all wonderful ways. So I want to hear some advice that you have for other women in the industry and in the sailing or just water community. What advice do you have for us?
Well, that's a good question. I think the things that I've found useful are like, I think not wasting too much time with people who don't respect you. Like that's sort of just general life stuff. But I think I have walked into environments on the water, or, you know, even happened to me in the hardware store the other day, where you just know that you're not being talked to as an equal. And there are other people out there who will respect you, and you don't have to work too hard to earn their respect. I think working at 59 North and at Gannon and Benjamin and some of these places I've worked showed me that there are such wonderful people in this industry, men and women both. And you should only work with and for those people. I unfortunately have a lot of friends who have had bad experiences on boats, and I would just walk away because you'll find something else. You don't have to stay with it because you think it's your only opportunity. Like there's more out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like toughing it out is something that we all do because we are all tough, and that you can do it. I don't know. You don't have to do it that much. You can. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the industry is definitely getting better, where you can find where you are respected and people actually enjoy you being there. Right. And they're not just like, oh, you're here again. Right?
Yeah.
And so go to where you're needed, go to where you're a part of the family. I think that's wonderful. And hopefully we're getting there everywhere within the industry. And as women, we're hopefully making it. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with the Women Offshore community today?
Yeah, I've really mostly interacted with Women Offshore through Instagram and just enjoyed seeing stories of women who are not in my part of the maritime industry. Like, you know, the boat ocean sailing world is often quite small. But it's really fun to see how many different directions people go with it. And I also think like something that has helped me within this industry is to realize that there are so many different directions you can go. And if one path isn't working, like you just watching women offshore and seeing, oh, okay, this person's a marine biologist, or she's like, you know, the engineer on this huge cargo ship or whatever it is. Like, it's really exciting to see all the different paths people take. So yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool. And congratulations on being your own boss and running your own business. That's not easy. And it is, you know, pretty stressful. You have more bosses trying to be your own boss, I feel like. So, yeah. So good job and keep up the hard work. You are making a difference out there, I think, by being visible and, you know, taking these kids out there to see with you. It has to be an amazing experience for them too. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. And yeah, I think the last thing that I want to say is that most of my trips are for adults of all genders. There are a couple trips for women who are adults. And then there's currently one trip for teenagers of all genders. So there's something for everyone, hopefully. So yeah, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks for tuning in to the Women Offshore Podcast.
Come back next Tuesday for another new episode.
If you want to propel women offshore forward, visit womenoffshore.shop. Make a donation or purchase some swag.
Until next time,
stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.